Welcome to the Classroom Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Chris. Joel isn't here because of his stupid, busy theater schedule or whatever. But instead, we have our new guest here. His name is Chris, but henceforth, he will be known as Beardsley. I will be known as Sanders, just to avoid confusion. His name is Beardsley because he has a giant beard. I know. Very original. Say hi to the folks, Chris. I mean, Beardsley.
You already just starting off on the ball there.
Well, you know, this was my first take, so, you know, just there was no other previous take to happen, you know, didn't happen at all. So we're good.
Totally. This is absolutely the first time we've done this.
Exactly. There's no record of any other takes, so we should just move on and not talk about it anymore.
Agreed. We absolutely shouldn't talk about how this is totally the first time anymore.
Alright, so yeah, like I said, Joel is out for the week, his whole theater schedule being, you know, Mr. Hollywood that he is. Yeah, I know, my thoughts exactly. But we shall move on without him, and I will try to run this thing myself, which, as we all know, is usually a train wreck. So, we brought on Beardsley here. He is a very, very new wrestling fan. I believe your first Raw that you watched was the first one that Hulk Hogan came back to, you know, after they announced he was going to be the WrestleMania 30 host.
It was something like that. I remember it was still snowing here.
Yeah.
Because I came with Waffle, and we took his mom mobile through the ice because I absolutely did not want to drive.
Sounds about right. And we had been trying to, like, to get you to watch because I remember because we had WrestleMania, our big WrestleMania 29 party at yours and Waffle's apartment. And I just remember just how badly you judged all of us as soon as we told you anything about what was going on.
It wasn't just that. It was pretty much the first time I'd seen anything that dedicated about wrestling since I was a kid.
Right.
And it involved a slideshow. That was what got me, was the slideshow. If you'd
really?
Just been, hey, we're watching wrestling, I would have been just like, whatever. But there was a slideshow that Joel put what had to have been days of work into.
Absolutely. No. Joel put so much effort into the slideshow. I'm not sure if we put this year's online anywhere, but it was incredibly well done. He puts a lot of heart into it, a lot of thought, and a lot of care, and I'm so glad he does it, not me, because it would just, the effort would not be in it at all if I did it. I always thought that your breaking point, because there was a point where you just left.
Yeah, well, in all fairness.
You did have, I think you had to work or something
like that. I'm pretty sure I left because I was going up to Virginia.
Right.
So it's not like I just left.
Right.
I went to a different state to get away from the wrestling.
Fair enough. Like, I always thought that your breaking point was when we started talking about Fandango. Because I remember the look on your face whenever we started talking about that. And then whenever you saw, like, the slideshow part of it.
Y'all lost me when you started talking about Fandango.
Mm-hmm.
You really should have started with Damian Sandow. Because if there's one thing I can relate to, it's arrogance.
Of course.
And after getting into wrestling somewhat, my absolute favorite wrestler to look up on YouTube is Damian Sandow. Just to see back in the glory days when he would just go on screen and insult people.
The glory days of last year.
Yeah, like that 2 weeks
right.
Where he was really popular.
Back when he was on Team Rhodes Scholars.
which
could have just been Rhodes Scholars.
Absolutely my favorite team name.
Even though you weren't even a fan back when it existed.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't a, you know.
Well, fair enough.
I didn't exist back when, like, the original lineup of Black Sabbath was around. Doesn't mean I can't like it.
Fair enough. And you also didn't have to put up with us constantly every week complaining that the WWE Universe or whatever decided that Daniel Bryan and Kane's tag team name would be Team Hell No. It should have been Team Friendship.
Again, I live, sort of, with Waffle.
Right.
So, even though I didn't watch wrestling, I saw to hear about it.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was going on.
Right. Also, the interesting thing that I've kind of just thought about is that you have pretty much no notion of anything about CM Punk.
Correct. Other because than that he was you guys, gone. Like, I don't even know how to describe your love for CM Punk. Right. It's so hard to not swear.
Right. I know.
So hard. How do you do this?
Training and the fact that this is our 222nd episode.
Touche.
There you go. Yeah, because it was after... Because I don't think you even started watching it until after Elimination Chamber, just gearing up for WrestleMania. So at that point, it was two-ish months removed away from CM Punk leaving. So I just find it just weird that you're a wrestling fan and you really just don't have any idea of what CM Punk was or is or will be or whatever.
I know at least one thing that CM stands for, though.
Hmm?
Chicago Made.
Well, that changes depending on who...
Yeah,
right.
That's one of the many. That's the only one I remember.
Apparently, well, he always kept that kind of ambiguous, like he never really said one way or the other. Then his documentary came out, and he was like, yeah, I don't really like it, but my original name was, Chick Magnet Punk? Because he was part of the Chick Magnet tag team or whatever in his backyard wrestling thing. He's not proud of it.
Okay.
But it just stuck. Because I believe for a while he tried to just get the CM part. The CM part just dropped, so people would just call him Punk, but it always stuck.
So, would you say that Punk is dead?
No, because he's back on Twitter. He's come back from his Twitter exile to feud with a mascot for the LA Kings. Because hockey.
The LA Kings have a mascot?
Yeah, it's a big lion.
I was really hoping.
Bailey, apparently.
I was really hoping since it was the LA Kings, it was just going to be like Aladdin King. Just some dude with like a shiny gold suit. Just beating up other mascots. That would be the most amazing mascot of all time.
So you were thinking Kingpin.
Basically.
Okay, fair enough. So really the first big show that you watched was WrestleMania 30.
You said big show. A wrestling podcast.
And what's funny is the guy that's been a wrestling fan for 2 minutes is the one that picked it up.
Yep.
I was just going to go full straight on through that and just not even realize it.
It's less because I'm a wrestling fan and more because I'm a fan of terrible, stupid humor.
That too.
And puns are the pinnacle of that.
Alright. So I'm interested in what got you hooked thus far?
Paige.
Paige?
Paige.
Really?
No.
Okay, because
Paige and Alicia Fox pouring coke on herself have definitely helped keep me in the wrestling loop.
Okay. Because I know, like, the big selling point that seemed to really get you here at my apartment to watch Monday Night Raw was the fact that Hulk Hogan was coming back.
Yes, absolutely.
And that they were inducting Ultimate Warrior in the Hall of Fame, I think.
No, I didn't care about that.
Okay. Alright, so really it was just because you were wanting to know what was going to happen with nine times out of ten, the train wreck that is Hulk Hogan.
Honestly, it was mainly to get you guys to stop bugging me about coming and watching wrestling.
Well, there was that, and we were always like, hey, you should come watch it, and you're like, yeah, sure. You just never did.
I think it was a year and a half that you guys were like, hey, you should come over and watch wrestling. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that eventually. But then you guys were like, hey, Hulk Hogan's going to be there. And I'm like, I will absolutely be there. Because 7-year-old Chris is still pretty much in control.
Right, of course. I know we did, at one point, we tried to, like, the one time where you were seemingly open to watching wrestling is when we finally told you about Bray Wyatt. And I showed you a couple stuff that he'd done on YouTube. I think I showed you, like, the match against Kofi at Battleground.
Right.
Or something like that. Because that was, like, the first time we really got to see him showcase what he does. And so at that point, you seemed, like, a little bit more open to watching it. And from that point on, you're like, I'll watch it with you or whatever. And we never got around to it.
Right.
So I feel like it was a very gradual process getting you on board.
Yeah, I procrastinate a lot.
Of course. So. Yeah. No. So do we.
You know, that's just par for the course.
Of course. It's pretty much been the case for all of our friends that we've gotten hooked, including Joel. Joel was my first project. Actually, you know what? No, Joel was kind of like overnight kind of thing. Because as soon as I told him that Bret Hart was coming back, I think in 2007, Joel was on board.
So Bret Hart is Joel's Hulk Hogan.
Basically, yeah. Just because, you know, it just... Joel knew enough about wrestling from his childhood that he knew that... Wait, Bret Hart's coming back to WWE? That shouldn't be happening.
Right.
You know? So, that got Joel interested, and I think he, like, went online and just started looking up all he could about the Montreal Screwjob and reading up on it to watch Raw the next week. And then he's been watching Raw every week ever since. Now, everyone else in our group, they would just be over playing video games with Waffle, my roommate. They would just be playing Halo or something in the background, and they would occasionally, like, look back at, you know, me and Joel watching our wrestling and throw a joke out here and there at our expense, usually Neil, because he's a jerk.
Yeah. Well, it's because he's tall.
That too. And so, eventually, they would see something weird, and they're like, what the hell? And then they would look, and then they would keep looking, and then they would just stop playing video games. And so that's pretty much your wrestling history up to this point. You've seen WrestleMania, you've seen Extreme Rules, we've got Payback coming up. So, would you categorize yourself at this point as a wrestling fan?
Yes.
Yes.
I would not say I was an expert at...
No, of course not.
On anything.
I've been a constant fan since right after WrestleMania 23. That was when I got back into wrestling. I was a fan as a kid, got up to high school, and I just thought I was too cool. Then I got to college and be like, hey, I'm a piece of crap, so I'm really not too good for anything. So let's watch wrestling.
See, I don't know what you're talking about, because I am absolutely too cool for school.
Of course.
And I still watch wrestling.
Fair enough. I've been a fan since, a constant fan since then, but even I wouldn't even label myself as an expert, even though I have, you know, multiple blogs and a wrestling podcast that's been going on for over 2 years now. But that's besides the point.
The things that you just said really describe what I believe the word I'm looking for as an expert.
Sure, but there's no, like, specific, like, qualifications. Like, I didn't get a BA in wrestling.
That just makes it easier for you to call yourself an expert and not have anyone challenge you.
You know what? I like this idea. So from now on, I'm Chris Sanders, PhD in wrestling.
I mean, I wouldn't say PhD. I would make up something else. You know, just like the WWE does.
Oh, of course. Fair enough. All right, so I'm gonna put this out to our listeners. What my title should be as a wrestling expert, like, what should that include? Like, I need an awesome thing to put after my name, is what I'm saying.
It should also illustrate Sanders' love for the camel clutch.
I hate you. I hate you so damn much. Oh, God. Now it's hard for me not to curse. All right. So on that note, we're moving the hell on before I kill something. So Payback is coming this Sunday. And I'm just ready for a lot of these rivalries or storylines to just pretty much end. So we can kind of move on and kind of get out of the pocket of suck, because we're just waist deep in it at this point. And I feel like we're on our way out, because Money in the Bank tends to be exciting and it tends to bring new storylines. So being hopeful about that. So we start off with the kickoff match, and it's going to be a mask versus hair match. They just announced it on Raw this past week. El Torito versus Hornswoggle. Beardsley, you're shaking your head. What's going on?
I am tired of this match.
Really?
Yeah.
But they put on good matches.
El Torito puts on a good match.
Okay, fair enough. And Hornswoggle does sell...
Getting beat terrible. Up pretty well.
It's an art form. ask Dolph Ziggler. That guy, like we've said it in the past, that guy could sell drugs to CM Punk. See, I love knowing that you don't listen to the podcast, so that's new to you, so you'll laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay with this as long as we don't get the full-on hokey little person shtick that we got at Extreme Rules.
I'm not going to lie. If we get a tiny dude commenter table, I'm going to punch your TV.
I would be okay with that because it's probably going to already be set on fire by me.
Okay.
So really, you'd just be putting it out of its misery.
So you'd see you setting it on fire, me punching it, and then Joel probably in the corner somewhere weeping.
Yes. Pretty much.
Okay.
But for the match itself, I don't mind it. I'm fine with it. You know, I'm assuming Hornswoggle's probably going to lose because it's easier to shave someone's head than it is to unmask somebody because, you know, in kind of wrestling folklore, you can't really undo that, even though Rey Mysterio has done that so many times.
So, it just reminds me of the, I think it was the Daniel Bryan and Kane go to anger management that you sent me.
Yes. And I sent you all of that.
Yeah, well, it's the very first one where Kane walks into anger management.
Yeah.
And the, whatever the dude wants to call himself, Mr. Therapy.
Dr. Shelby.
Whatever.
Forever etched in the minds of wrestling fans because it was fantastic.
He asks Kane if he wants to remove his mask, and he takes off the mask, and he's just got another mask under it.
Yeah, because that's how, that's, because I believe he, like, originally lost his match, met his mask back in 2002, and he went all the way up until the end of 2010, when he returned, and he returned with the, like, that welder's mask on.
Right.
And everyone was going nuts because unmasked Kane is so much more lame than regular Kane.
I don't know. I know you
enjoyed Corporate Kane.
Corporate Kane is best Kane.
You don't know Kane like I do.
I like Corporate Kane because Corporate Kane can beat you up and then balance your books.
Right.
Which is a skill.
Well, go back to Monday Night Raw this past Monday. Basically, he handled the entire severance issues for Brad Maddox getting fired. He's still handling his director of operations duty. I think that's commendable.
I think it's much more impressive when you're doing this stuff in business pants.
Sure. It looks stupid.
But it looks awesome.
Okay.
You look stupid.
Some would agree with you on that, I guess. But yeah, whenever he returned remasked, he came out in the welder's mask. In the middle of the ring, he did his fire thing and then took off the welder's mask to reveal his new mask. And he did that a few weeks ahead of time. Before that, and
so ridiculous.
Yeah, and if you think about the theory of it, it's completely unnecessary and dumb. At the time, it was pretty badass, but absolutely ridiculous when you think about it. So, going back to El Torito versus Hornswoggle, I'm gonna pick Torito to win. Joel sent me his picks. He also picks El Torito to win. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. El Torito.
Alright.
I may or may not be just completely not paying attention to that match.
Fair enough. It's the kickoff match. I think there's only been, like, one or two kickoff matches that's actually been worth watching.
Right.
The first one was the WrestleMania 30 kickoff, that four-way tag elimination, for the tag team championships, with the Usos ended up winning. And basically had Cesaro turn face, but, like, just for that night.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good match. And then at Money in the Bank the year before, it was another tag team championship match between Usos and Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. And that was a fantastic match.
So, has anyone in the history of the WWE ever gone from heel to face, back to heel, as quickly as Cesaro?
I'm sure. I'm completely sure of it. Has to be somewhere in the lexicon of wrestling. Like, that absolutely has happened.
Because it seemed like he went from that match, turned heel, turned face, the next match he was face, and then the match after that it was like, well, this is boring. Heel time.
And, well, see, even that, like, he was still not necessarily a heel, even though he decided to be a Paul Heyman guy. It wasn't until, like, a couple weeks later whenever he started, like, I think he got DQ'd in a match or something like that, just because he wouldn't let up on a guy.
I feel like it had something to do with RVD.
Yeah. It was something like that. So, really, he really didn't exhibit any heel attitude other than being associated with Paul Heyman, which that's not a very strong stance, especially when everyone, all the, well, fans like us love Paul Heyman, so he's not that much of a heel, right. You know? I mean, to kids, he'll be a heel because he's associated with the Walrus.
Kids are stupid.
Absolutely. I'm not arguing with you on that. Kids are the dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I think it's important for me to exemplify every week that I don't have kids. Because I think for the past couple weeks straight, I've said something where, like, heels are, like, the kids are, like, the worst thing in the world. So...
I feel like if you ever question kids' taste in things, just remember the fact that kids like John Cena. And then all of my opinions about kids are justified.
Yeah, okay, alright. Also, kids made Bieber a thing. I feel like that's more...
you just had to say the name, didn't you?
I know. I'm sorry. But I had to further that point.
Kids are the worst.
They are. So we're going to move on. These are rumored matches. They have not been confirmed yet. But we can pretty much all see it coming. One of them is Adam Rose versus Jack Swagger. My stance is just go ahead and let it happen and be done with it. Because I'm already done with Adam Rose, even though we haven't really seen him in a match yet.
I feel like no matter who wins in an Adam Rose versus Jack Swagger match, I'm the real loser.
Yeah, absolutely. We are all losers from this.
And alcohol is the real winner.
Now, how much would you love to see Zeb Coulter, like, tripping on acid as part of the Rosebuds?
I don't know. I don't know how you could adequately convey him tripping on acid on television other than him going, well, hey, I'm an old redneck and I'm on acid.
Just literally looks at the camera and says that.
But like completely straight face.
Right. Okay, fair enough. You can pull it off. Yeah. The other rumored match is Big E versus Rusev. Oh, by the way, Joel picked Adam Rose to win. I pick Adam Rose to win. I'm assuming you don't care.
Jack Daniels to win.
Sure. Next, we got Big E versus Rusev. Okay. I'm assuming this match has to happen.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. But WWE's insisted on making Rusev, or trying to make Rusev into a thing. This monster push just is not working, and has not worked for really anybody within the past few years.
And it doesn't help that he's won, like, every single match he's been in. I think the only time I've seen him not totally whoop the other dude was Memorial Day when Big E ran into the right. ring. And you can't have a Russian dude who's an advocate for Vladimir Putin beat any American on Memorial Day. I'm pretty sure against the law.
No, he is a Bulgarian that's living in Russia now. That's how they're spinning it. Because they're still calling him the Bulgarian brute.
Whatever.
Right.
Does he have
with a hot Russian manager? Well,
I guess the question I have is, does he have Russian citizenship or Bulgarian citizenship?
I would
like to see his visa instead of this argument once and for all. All
right, Zeb Coulter.
No, I don't want to know if he's American. I just want to know whether or not Russian or actually Bulgarian.
He's actually Bulgarian, but...
Well, I know he's actually a Bulgarian citizen or a Russian citizen.
Okay, fine.
I'll throw my shoe at you.
I'm predicting Rusev the win. Joel knows Rusev is gonna win. There's no interest here, you know. There's no interest in the character. The most interesting thing about this is that we're gonna get more camera time for Lana, and I'm completely okay with that.
Like, I don't. If this match does happen, mm-hmm. Rusev's probably gonna win, but I really right. want Big E too.
I know, and we love Big E, and we really want more for him. It's just one of those things where it's like, okay, he's finally... He dropped the Intercontinental Championship to Bad News Barrett. Hopefully they're doing so because they have some bigger plans for him. But now it's clearly, you know, that they just don't have anything for him right now.
Right.
So, kind of sucks, but, you know, you go through that really with all your favorites. It happens. We'll move on to the Divas Championship match. Paige versus Alicia Fox. I know you feel very strongly about this match, Beardsley, so I'll let you talk about it.
I am very much looking forward to this match.
Why is that?
Because it's Paige and Alicia Fox. Hopefully it will be not so much wrestling as them just pouring Cokes on each other. That would be wonderful.
You're such a dude.
Well, you know.
I mean, I'm not judging, because I've enjoyed Alicia Fox just completely losing it.
Yeah, no, it was great watching her steal JBL's cowboy hat.
Right, and then steal Lawler's crown and pour Coke all over herself.
I really wish she had scalped Cole, though.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Like, I had that thought. I was like, Cole really needs to invest in some sort of, like, cranial accessory that she can steal, other than, you know, his skin and or hair.
I think he just get, like, a full-on, like, plate armor helmet. Just to wear all the time.
just like, as soon as he finishes up whatever match he's in, turns to the commentating booth, and Cole just picks up this giant helmet, puts it on, and just sits there like, your move, bitch.
I kind of think it would be funny if he wore it all the time, just build, like, a microphone. Get one of the ones with, like, the big nose cones.
Right.
Build a microphone into that, and have him just announce from, like, 1432.
I would like to see her spray herself in orange soda wearing a giant Viking helmet.
I'd be down with that.
And see, that's why...
I'd be down with that.
Okay, like, I like Paige. I like Paige a lot. I know you like Paige a lot. I would like to see Alicia Fox win this just to give us reason to, like, to see what she'll come up with next. Like, how she's going to keep this gimmick up every week.
See, I
feel like if you had been a fan... I think right after WrestleMania in 2011, when we saw Crazy R-Truth, because, you know, R-Truth now was basically the character we had always known him as beforehand. Like, he was just good guy, he likes to rap.
Right.
Whatever. There was this point, he wasn't even in WrestleMania that year, and I think the very next Raw, or the Raw after that, came out, and he's part of this tournament. And he had won. He was going into the final one, and he was up against John Cena or something like that. And that next week, another guy was making fun of him because they got like during the commercial, he was like taking sips of water, and they're like, "Yeah, you wouldn't need that if you wouldn't smoke so much or something like that." And just the R-Truth just went completely insane. Like, I don't even know how to describe it to you. There was one time they were in Virginia, and they started the show because that was the ending of the Tough Enough. So Stone Cold and Vince McMahon were in the ring to start the show. R-Truth comes out in a Confederate uniform, complete with a saber.
That sounds... I am going to need to YouTube that sometime.
I'm surprised that we haven't shown you this sooner.
That sounds amazing.
And it was the funniest thing. Like, it led to the one championship match that he ever had in his career. Sure, it was terrible, and it ended with him getting splashed in the face by some kid on, you know, who had a thing of Coke. Splashed him in the face with it, and that's how he ended the match.
What?
Because apparently that was enough to have him be pinned by John Cena. It was awful, but it was the best thing that we'd seen from him. And that went all the way from then until the end of 2011... beginning in 2012, where he got busted for substance. So he broke the substance abuse policy or whatever, and was, you know, left for a month, came back as a face, because they played it off as he left as, you know, 'cause his taxi partner, The Miz, at the time was, you know, turned on him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they were in a tag team. I wasn't a big fan of that.
That seems very, like, a very strange pairing.
Yeah. It was. And you know what? It kind of worked. It kind of worked. So, yeah, I kind of see this as Alicia Fox, like, not quite as extreme as R-Truth going crazy and seeing invisible children and calling them Little Jimmy. but it's getting there. I would like some sort of explanation as to why she's going crazy. But you know what? No, I take that back. I don't want to know why. I don't care. I don't care. Just keep it going. Because if you give it a reason, then they're going to play up that reason, and it's going to start becoming lame.
See, here's what I want. I want Paige to win because I like Alicia Fox. She's very funny. It's awesome to watch her freak out.
Right.
But
it is good to see some character with her. Like, she had been so bland for so long. You know?
As a kid who grew up loving Slayer, Pale Chick in a Leather Jacket wins every time. But that's why I want to see Paige win, just because I want to see Paige more. But I do want Paige beating Alicia Fox this time to be the thing that really sends her off, like, to go the edge.
Right, so Alicia Fox goes even further.
And then she goes to, like, the darkest mastermind the WWE has, and it turns out it's Damian Sandow. And they, like, start team, like, Crazy Rage. And he, like, masterminds all these plots, and she, like, so he's Poison Ivy, and she's Bane. And she's, like, the enforcer. He's planning all these elaborate things, and she's just making them all happen. And they become, like, the Fandango and Summer Rae of Doom. That would make me very happy. That's the other reason I would like to see Paige win this match.
You really put some thought into this.
Not really.
Clearly. Alright, so you're still going to say Paige is going to win.
I'm going to say Paige.
And hopefully that causes Alicia Fox to go off the deep end.
Like, if she goes full on, like, Harvey Dent wacko, that would be awesome.
Okay. I'm going to say Alicia Fox, just because WWE, they only are interested usually in the ones that are carrying the titles. So I feel like if Alicia Fox loses, we're just going to have her just get lost back in the whole diva shuffle that she's been stuck in for the past 5 years, or however long she's been in the company. So, I want to see more of Alicia Fox, so I'm going to say she wins. Joel also picks Paige, probably for the same reasons that you do.
Joel, it seems like Joel and I have very similar justifications for things.
Right, yeah.
And that they're both outlandish and will probably never happen.
True. Well, Joel also knows he's like me, because a lot of our picks are 9 times out of 10 the same, because we kind of can guess the WWE's predictability. We don't want... 9 times out of 10, like, when we make these picks, we don't really want them to happen, necessarily.
Right.
But we know that's probably what's going to happen. 9 times out of 10, we're right. Now, if WWE can surprise us, we will give them all the credit in the world, you know, because we are very rarely surprised.
Like how, like, my client Brock Lesnar conquered the streak at WrestleMania.
Never saw that coming, and that's why Joel completely believes this. I'm getting more and more into that, the same thinking that maybe WrestleMania 30 was the best WrestleMania of all time because of everything that happened. So many great things. You had the Daniel Bryan storyline. You had the Cesaro thing.
Yeah.
You had the completely unpredictability of Brock Lesnar breaking the streak, something that we never thought we'd ever see. We had that. We had the beginning, which was fun with Hogan rocking Stone Cold. It was a fun night.
Stone Cold's magical ability to summon beer.
Just hold up your hand over at the timekeepers and
I wish magically, I had that ability.
Sure.
That would make my life so much more fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a moment where they were able to take what we were expecting to happen and just kind of twist it a little bit to where we're completely taken by surprise. Another one was when Brodus Clay first re-debuted before he was the Funkasaurus. He was, like, basically your general, like, big monster-type character. And then he left for a while.
So he's like Rusev?
Basically, and didn't talk much, didn't really have much personality, was just your big angry monster.
Did he also do the camel clutch?
No. No, he did not. And so he left for a while, and then for a few months, we kept getting these really angry promos, be like, Brodus Clay is back, or whatever. And it was just something like, the fall of humanity is near, whatever. And, like, they put it off for, like, 2 months, like, every time they would say, like, oh, in 1 week, Brodus Clay will make his debut, and then that week would happen, and they're like, okay, yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Oh, so it's kind of like how...
So eventually they were just like, they just took away the timetable and just like, he's gonna return at some point.
So for, like, the last 5 weeks, Daniel Bryan has had to make the decision to...
Right, something so like that. It's
basically like that.
Right. And then the debut happened, and out comes the Funkasaurus. Dressed up in, like, a red Adidas, you know...
Yeah, I got tracksuit earlier today, and I was reading about the Funkadactyls.
Why?
Because...
Someone wrote something about the Funkadactyls? Like, what?
One of my favorite things to do in my free time...
Sorry, it's a PG podcast.
Well, I woke up early, I went and got Watch Dogs, and then I came home, played like an hour of Watch Dogs, and I went for a bike ride, and then I didn't want to stare at the TV anymore at that point, because my eyes were burning.
Right.
So I decided to stare at a computer screen instead.
That's better.
And one of my favorite things to do is surf Wikipedia and see how I can how many pages it takes me to get from like point A to like the Soviet space program.
Right.
And I don't remember how I got there, but somehow I got to the Funkadactyls, and I was like, who is that big fat dude in the red onesie with the terrible tattoos?
He was the reason the Funkadactyls even existed.
Oh my god.
They were his arm candy, so to speak. They came out and they danced with him, and then he turned heel, but they wanted to keep the Funkadactyls because Total Divas is a thing, so... Now they're still a thing, and we haven't seen Brodus Clay in a long... Well, I don't think we've seen him since the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Wait,
he
was there?
Not for very long.
Okay. Because I do not recall seeing him there at all.
I think he was wearing, like, a big onesie, and... I keep saying onesie. A big, and I think it just had, like, the Punisher symbol on it. It's, like, interesting. Yeah, I know, pretty much. Moving along, we go to the United States Championship match, Sheamus versus Cesaro.
The Battle of the
Yes. Yes. Just put together last minute kind of thing, like, I didn't even know that they were feuding, but apparently it had happened on SmackDown, and no one watched SmackDown, so, sure. Again, I'm just... Is this one of those things where it's like, Cesaro's already been United States Championship. We're wanting him to be pushed beyond this. So, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't want Sheamus to beat Cesaro clean, but I don't want Cesaro to be the United States Championship champion.
I would very much like to see Cesaro punch Sheamus's face off of his face.
Okay. I could be okay with that.
Make me very happy.
That would probably be subject to a DQ, so that would be a good way to end the match.
Like... And his stupid orange pseudo beard, whatever.
I'm really glad that you're a new wrestling fan and you already are tired of Sheamus.
What's the one for the first 4 weeks I watched Raw? Literally every week there was a match between Sheamus and Christian.
Yeah.
And it was the most boring thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's how they like to book Sheamus for some reason. Like,
terribly?
Yeah. Like last year he had this. Last year or the year before, I don't remember, but it seemed like he was fighting Alberto. He was fighting Alberto Del Rio for 4 months straight, on really no storyline, and literally like Sheamus never lost. He beat Alberto Del Rio like cleanly and convincingly every single time, but yet they still felt the need to continue, and they were using footage from like 2 months beforehand to continue the storyline forward.
Yes,
and that's why that like honestly that. Feud is what was the final straw with me in SmackDown because he was the World Heavyweight Championship and that was the title to go for if you were on SmackDown. So that was the main storyline on that show for the longest time. We're talking, what was it, 4 months, 4 episodes per month for four, so that was 16 SmackDowns where that was the main thing.
That's way too many.
Yeah, way too much.
I'm going to go ahead and say that Sheamus is the Nickelback of wrestling.
Ooh, which is funny because Nickelback was the very, very long time theme song for Monday Night Raw until they finally changed it in 2012. Thank God. I'd rather hear Tonight is the Night or whatever.
I honestly don't think I've ever heard a Nickelback song. All I know is that they're terrible.
You're so lucky to be a new wrestling fan.
Right.
Yeah, no, they
it's like, I don't listen to radio, and like car radios and video games don't ever have Nickelback because they know that Nickelback is terrible.
Right. Lucky, you lucky, lucky prick.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's why I blast, like, Naked Ray Gun in my car all day. That's not a euphemism, it's a band, I assure you.
Joel's gonna pick Cesaro. I'm gonna say Sheamus wins by some sort of DQ. What are you thinking?
I want it to be Cesaro, but I think you're right. I think it's gonna be some sort of DQ.
Yeah.
And Sheamus is gonna take it.
Like, honestly, this is just a reason to put Cesaro on the card.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's just a kind of a placeholder thing until they have something bigger for him, hopefully at Money in the Bank. I'm hoping Cesaro is your Money in the Bank winner. I would love to see that.
But wasn't Damian Sandow a Money in the Bank winner?
Yes, and he clearly was the worst Money in the Bank winner of all time.
Yeah.
interestingly enough, only the second person to lose his Money in the Bank cash-in. First was actually John Cena. But John Cena was like, hey, CM Punk, for next week's big 1,000th episode of Raw, I'm going to face you for the WWE Championship, and I'm going to cash this in or whatever. And he lost because Big Show interfered or whatever. Whereas Damian Sandow Cody did the Rhodes usual, like,
stealing it, tossing it into a harbor.
Yes, and then Damian Sandow got him a new, like, it looked like an actual briefcase.
Yeah.
Very classy looking, looked like chocolate. And he carried around for the longest time, and then Cena came back. He wasn't 100%. He had this arm situation going on. Won the World Heavyweight Championship the next night. Sandow came out and beat him up a lot before they even rang the bell, and still lost because hail Super Cena. Yeah,
I hate John Cena.
I know. We'll get there. We'll get there. Next, we have the Intercontinental Championship, Bad News Barrett versus Rob Van Dam. I'm assuming Bad News Barrett's going to win. I'm pretty much done with this.
So already. I feel like, for everyone who doesn't know me, it's important to note that Bray Wyatt and Hulk Hogan were the things that got me into wrestling.
Yeah.
Bad News Barrett has almost single-handedly kept me coming to Raw every week.
And she's...
Because the first time I saw him, when he was on that podium that raced like 20 feet in the air,
right,
and he just had that super dickish grin, and he was just like banging the gavel like it was his favorite thing. I don't think I have ever loved anything in the world as much as he loves banging that gavel and delivering bad news.
Yeah, I remember that gif of him banging the gavel repeatedly, and every time he did, an upvote
arrow would come up. He's making that face that just like...
Right. For the people who were listening at home... You clearly just saw the faces that we made,
yeah,
imitating
absolutely.
Bad News Barrett. So yeah, Bad News Barrett's gonna win this.
Dude, he absolutely. If he doesn't, I'm no. I will not.
Are you going to re-punch my already punched TV at this point?
No. At that point, I'm going to figure out how to science, build a time machine that will not only transport me to a different place in time, but also in space, so it can transport me back to whoever decided this match. And then punch them in the face.
Okay.
To make it so Bad News Barrett wins.
Okay, fair enough. Joel also picks Bad News Barrett. Next, we'll go to the last man standing match between John Cena and Bray Wyatt. This seems like a very stereotypical match for John Cena to be the victor and end the feud on. Because, you know, John Cena has a history. Like, anytime that John Cena says that he's going to be in an I Quit match, John Cena's going to win. Because you got a guy whose catchphrase is never give up, so he's not going to be the one that says I Quit. He literally is undefeated in I Quit matches, and I think he's been, like, 10 or whatever. Basically, like, the way it's always worked in the past, whoever he's feuding with around WrestleMania, he'll continue that feud for about 3-4 months, and the last match will always be an I Quit match, and he will always win. But this one is a last man standing match, and honestly, I can only think of two times where John Cena actually won a last man standing matches. The ones that he lost, he was one against Edge, where Big Show came out, interfered, and literally threw John Cena into a giant spotlight. It's actually a pretty cool spot. I liked it. Of course, they rigged it with, you know, fireworks and explosions to make it look more
right.
Grandiose than what it probably actually was. But still a pretty interesting spot. The other one was, I can't remember. The most recent one was him versus Ryback last year, where Ryback, rammed him through the staging area, and they both got counted out. Even though Ryback did technically, like, get up and walk away.
Man, so Ryback is...
Terrible, yeah.
Ryan Backerson is not someone I enjoy watching
wrestle. No, not at all. But see, back then, he was, like, before his thing with Cena, he was supposed to be the next big thing. And it was very believable because the fans were, like, really on his side when he was doing his Feed Me More thing. Like, it was back when CM Punk was the biggest heel in the company and he was champion, and then he was going up against Ryback. Ryback was taking on the Shield, and the fans were solidly behind him. And then he turned heel the day after WrestleMania for this feud against Cena. And ever since then... it didn't matter. He just has not mattered ever since.
He's the embodiment of mediocrity.
Yeah. They tried again whenever Paul Heyman was basically feuding with CM Punk, and his Paul Heyman guy at the time was Curtis Axel. And that didn't work. That didn't work at all.
Oh.
And so they're like, we need someone bigger and better. So let's... Yeah. So we'll add in Ryback. And so basically that's what started their tag team. I'm not going to call them by that tag team because it's an awful tag team name. Pound it.
Agreed.
And so, yeah, pretty much this whole Cena thing was kind of like the beginning of the end for Ryback. So, yeah, and the only times that John Cena has won a Last Man Standing match that I can think of, he used duct tape.
He used duct tape.
Yes. The first time, I think it was 2010, against Batista. And Batista was like, he was laid out face first on the mat. And so John Cena drugged his feet to the ring post and duct taped his feet on the other side of the ring post so he couldn't get up. So he lost because, you know, the Last Man Standing is you have to get up before the referee counts to 10.
Right.
The second time was against Big Show and basically had that, but Big Show was on his back.
He's just sitting on
him. And they duct taped his feet to the bottom rope. And so basically... while the referee was doing the count, Big Show was basically trying to do a sit-up and never quite worked. So...
Wrestling's weird, man.
Right, right. So, basically, this match is going to go one or two ways. Either some shenanigans going to go down to cause Cena to lose, but not cleanly. And probably not to Bray Wyatt. Probably to the other two.
Yep.
But ultimately lose. Or John Cena's going to break out the duct tape.
Knowing what I know about the Wyatts, I'm going to call this match in favor of shenanigans and say that the Wyatt, not Bray Wyatt,
right,
but the Wyatt family,
right,
is going to be the one to take it.
But you know what? Everything's been so in Bray Wyatt's corner lately,
mm-hmm,
that I'm starting to feel like, okay, they're setting this up for the big bad heel to finally get what it was coming to him kind of thing. And so Super Cena is going to prevail.
Well, I'm kind of hoping that... Like I say, I would like it very much if the Wyatt family just beats the crap out of John Cena.
Right.
But if they don't, I really like what they did at... I can't even remember which one it was because I have goldfish memory. But it's the one where he was trying to get Cena to hit him in the face with a chair.
Oh, that was WrestleMania.
Was it WrestleMania?
Yeah, that was WrestleMania.
Yeah, I really, if Cena does win, I want it to be something like that.
Where he finally gets in.
Psychologically damaging.
Fair enough.
And makes the kids hate him. Because when the kids hate John Cena, life will be okay again.
No, like, we know you're new to wrestling. The whole, like, this would be a perfect time to turn Cena heel thing is a weekly struggle. Because everything... Anything is a good reason to turn John Cena heel. Because we so desperately have been wanting to see that. Or not really wanting to see it, but just ready for it to happen so we would have something different for Cena.
I feel like they write John Cena the same way that they write Superman, which makes him incredibly overpowered and incredibly uninteresting.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. He is the Superman / Boy Scout of the WWE.
Like, he's that kid who, like, when you're playing, like... Cops and Robbers when you're kids. He's the kid who's got a helicopter that goes faster than light speed, a laser gun that, like, automatically tracks its target,
right,
and is invincible. And even though he's got the light speed helicopter, he can also fly. John Cena's that kid.
Fair enough.
No.
No,
it's not, and that's the point.
I know what you're saying. I feel like... I feel like WWE is ready to end this storyline. I don't see them ever ending it with Bray Wyatt winning. Like,
but imagine how awesome it would be.
It would be fantastic. But the way WWE is, they always make sure the heel gets what's coming to him.
It'd be like if at the end of Jaws, the shark is just eating everybody.
Right.
That would have been amazing.
That would be amazing. But that's not how WWE has ever worked. So yeah, I'm thinking, I really think that this is all coming to an end soon, because I'm ready for Bray Wyatt to not sing. He's got the whole world.
Oh, yeah. I love Bray Wyatt. I'm assuming
I want that to die with this feud. Like, it's fine because this is the feud that where it kind of, like, started being prominent. But I'm ready for it to just go away.
Although I was really, really stoked about he's got the whole C-Nation in his hand.
Right.
And then at the cage match, when there was that one child who was clearly possessed by the devil.
Right, clearly.
Who they had, like, the voice modulation on.
Right.
And he was just like, he's got the whole world. And, like, John Cena's face, like, he was about to cry.
Right.
And, like, just void himself of all of his internal organs in the most disgusting way possible.
Right, yeah. So, you're hoping Wyatt wins.
I'm hoping Wyatt wins.
Okay.
Or that Cena wins in such a way it basically makes him a heel.
Fair enough. I'm saying Super Cena wins. As the I'm not thrilled about it either, and I'm assuming that's what Joel's thinking. No,
that
as
wasn't
well.
At you. That was at John Cena in general.
Beardsley made an obscene hand gesture for those wanting to know what he just did. Yeah,
Joel, I'm not also swearing, but I'm making a lot of obscene hand gestures.
There you go. Yeah, Joel also goes with Cena winning. Moving on to the what I'm assuming is going to be the main event is the No Holds Barred 6-man elimination tag team match between Evolution and The Shield. It's already been reported that after this show, after Payback, Batista will be taking time off to go promote Guardians of the Galaxy, which we knew was happening. Now, it's basically just been confirmed. I feel like that pretty much gives away who wins, assuming. Like, of course, surprises can happen. Like, basically, we can have the storyline be Batista, you know, is injured because of the other members of Evolution turn on him, or whatever. Or it could very well be some insane spot where S.H.I.E.L.D. takes him out. I don't know. I'm looking forward to this match. I think it'd be a fun match. But, I am kind of ready for this whole Evolution thing to be done.
Yeah,
I mean, I was okay with it because it kind of, I was ready for Randy Orton to be out of the championship picture because it's pretty much been six to eight months straight of him being either being the champion or in the picture.
See, and I'm ready for the whole Evolution thing to be done.
Hmm.
And that's as someone who's only been watching wrestling for like 4 months.
Right.
I can't imagine someone who's had to deal with Randy Orton for years.
Yes.
Who isn't like some 45-year-old woman whose favorite store is Walmart.
Yes. But all that being said, I do think this is going to be a fun match.
Yeah.
I really did like their Extreme Rules match. I don't know how they're going to top it. They probably won't, but it's still going to be a fun match either way. Ultimately, I'm very much confident that S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Joel thinks so as well. Also happening at Extreme Rules, Payback, is apparently the actual decision of what to do with the championship and Daniel Bryan. Because they put it off for an entire month. Every week has been, oh, we're gonna announce that this is going to happen next week. And then they go to next week, oh, it's going to happen next week. And just completely pushing the buck along. Now the situation is if Daniel Bryan doesn't relinquish his championships, then his wife, Brie Bella, is going to lose her job.
Dun dun dun!
Right.
Drama.
So, I'm thinking Daniel Bryan is probably going to relinquish, or shenanigans to where he doesn't. I think, like, honestly, like, I would be okay with him relinquishing the titles, especially if he can't wrestle for a while. Or, again, this could just be them putting it off because Daniel Bryan doesn't have to wait that long. They just have to kind of kill time between here and then.
Yeah.
If they do take the title from him, that sets up an interesting situation going into Money in the Bank. Because usually there's two Money in the Bank matches. One for the World Heavyweight, one for the WWE Championship. And lately, the one for the WWE has always been listed as an all-star Money in the Bank. Which is, okay, Money in the Bank is usually reserved for guys who are, like, mid-carders on their way up, or perennial mid-carders like Kofi or whatever, not quite A-list guys.
Right.
You know, it is usually a great showcase for those types, and it's exciting because, you know, you're guaranteed that these guys are going to be the new thing. Like, we were all so excited that when Daniel Bryan first won back in 2011, he didn't even have a beard at the time. I know, it was prehistoric.
It's insane.
Why and then, you know, we went completely insane for Ziggler when he won last year. So, and then the past couple years, what they've done is they've made the WWE Championship Money in the Bank, or the briefcase for the WWE Championship, into an all-star that involved former WWE champions. Which is fine. You put all the guys who haven't done it yet in one match, and then guys who are wanting to get back to that point in another match. I'm fine with that. And so a lot of people are wondering, what are they going to do now that they've unified the championships? Are they only going to have one Money in the Bank match? What they could do this year, then, is they could just have a ladder match for the World Heavyweight Championship involving multiple guys. You know, sure, the original unification match back at TLC, which was a ladder match between just Randy Orton and just John Cena, it was pretty bloody awful.
Right.
But you add in more people, it could be less awful. So I think that would be a fun and good match for that if Daniel Bryan has to miss. If not, then they can set up, you know, a Kane versus Daniel Bryan championship match at Money in the Bank, whatever, to finally put a cap on that storyline. I don't know. There's a bajillion different ways that you can go from here. And again, it all determines on exactly what they're going to decide and if they're actually going to decide anything. Or are they going to, you know, just put it off for another week? Which, as we've seen, is completely plausible.
The thing I want to happen most will absolutely not happen. Because it's awesome, but completely insane.
Right.
I would very much like Daniel Bryan to give up the belt, only to reveal that Stephanie McMahon is an evil alien overlord and is using the power of the belt to give herself eternal life. And she has used the belt to summon... you ever read Lobo?
No.
He's like an intergalactic bounty hunter. Basically the wrestling version of him to come down... They've already got the devil's favorite demon. Why is it an intergalactic bounty hunter so strange?
I'm pretty sure there has been some wrestler who was enlisted as an intergalactic bounty hunter. I can almost guarantee you that.
But they're not now, and that's the problem with it.
Probably sometimes in the mid-80s or 90s. Probably at WCW. If I had to guess.
Daniel Bryan gives up his belt. Main contender for the new championship, the Shockmaster. The Shockmaster is my favorite wrestling thing of all time.
Everyone forgive Beardsley. The Shockmaster is still new to him.
I've known about Shockmaster for like 5 or 6 years.
Fair enough.
It's just so stupid and amazing.
Okay.
Like, it's a disco ball stormtrooper helmet.
I need another reason for you to get in the network is they do their weekly countdown show.
Right.
One of the funniest ones was their biggest mistakes. And Shockmaster was on there. Yeah, I think he was pretty high up. Another one was... that was also the one where they showed, like, just some bloopers from backstage that no one had ever seen.
Right.
It was a really good... It was a fun episode. Yeah, I'll have the shows here.
Shockmaster.
Yeah. So, we move on. I don't have to announce it because Joel's not here to growl at me because it's time for the mail sack. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's your mail sack. So we start off with Nathan sent this, and this is intended for me, because I clarified. He wants to know, why are you so damn handsome? Genetics. And honestly, it's the hair and the beard, really. If I didn't have that, I would look like, you know, a 12-year-old child. I think Chris agrees. Beardsley agrees.
I think you would look like a 12-year-old child.
Okay, fair enough. Next, this goes off of what me and Joel were talking about last week. Neil says, for all the match gimmicks that you said you didn't like last week, he wanted us to come up with better gimmicks that keeps those same names. He gave us an example of, in a chair match, one has to sit in a chair in the ring untouched by his opponent for a certain count in order to win. For chair match, I think, honestly, just have the same rules as a tables match. In a tables match, if you get put through a table, you lose. You know, and that's the end of the match. Chair match, the way it is now is, you can use chairs in the match. You can beat each other up with chairs in the match. But you still have to pin them. I think the first person to hit someone with a chair, end of match. Same rules as a tables match, really. Unless you want to be, like, the first one to break a chair over someone. Wins, yeah. Which would be much harder to do.
No breakaway chairs allowed.
No. I don't, honestly, because he gave us a few of the matches that we talked about, I don't know how you would rework a strap match. Strap match, I would still have them, like, the two wrestlers tied together, but I would take away the part of it where you have to tag each ring post in sequence in order to win. I would have it to where you would actually have to pin them in a strap match.
How loosely defined are we going with strap here? Can it not be so much of a strap as a cord?
No, because basically it's like this big, like, leathery thing that they're both tied to each other with.
Alright.
So there's that. Falls Count Anywhere match.
Grand Canyon match.
Sure. Falls Count Anywhere match, I don't know how else you would rework that. Unless you go literal with falls and, you know, fight next to, you know, Niagara Falls or something. I don't know.
Why has it always got to be Niagara Falls?
Because it's the one that everyone identifies with.
There are other falls in the world.
Okay, fine, whatever. Last Man Standing match, I would, I don't know about that one. Because really, Last Man Standing could also apply to Battle Royals. If you think about it, because the last guy standing in the ring wins. Ring of Fire match already has a different name. It's called Inferno, but Inferno is terrible too. Inferno, the only difference is, you know, Ring of Fire is just there's fire around the ring. Inferno matches, you have to set the other person on fire to win.
Why would you want to change that? That sounds awesome.
Well, it was, okay, there's only been a handful of Inferno matches, and every single one has featured Kane for obvious reasons. And they kind of wanted to get away from that once they got to the PG era. You know, they didn't want to set people on fire. And so what they did is, Bray Wyatt's first match was a Ring of Fire match at SummerSlam against Kane. And it was basically a regular match, but with fire around it. And it was terrible because they couldn't really use the ropes because fire. And yeah, it was not good. I don't know how, and then he also says ambulance match. The gimmick is there's an ambulance at the end of the arena, and if you put your other opponent in the back of the ambulance, you win. I don't know how you would rework that as well. I don't know.
They have to drive around an ambulance, and they do it like old school GTA. The most people they take to the hospital in one night, whoever gets the most wins.
Sure. I don't know. Maybe I need to ask this when Joel's here. Because Joel is a lot more creative about this kind of stuff than I am.
You could also do a ladder match where you get two ladders in the ring, and whoever's the first person to make their ladder 20 feet taller and replace a light bulb wins.
Sure. It's kind of like the very first ladder match. I don't know if it's the first, but it's the one that everyone gave credit to. I don't remember what promotion it was, but it was like in the 70s. I don't even remember who was in it. But it was like really just one big ladder. Not even like a two-sided ladder. A one-sided ladder. And they just had like this bag of money like sitting on top of one of those like really long straight lamp light things.
It's like a fixture?
Yeah. Like it was just a straight long light fixture. And they just sat it on top of that and they kind of leaned the ladder up against that light fixture. And it looks so sketchy.
I feel like that violates all sorts of safety ordinances.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the best way possible.
OSHA would crap themselves.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And then we will end this on something that is absolutely in Beardsley's wheelhouse. Shaw wants to know, where art thou, RoboCop? Of course, this is Shaw's longtime gimmick of asking us RoboCop themed questions. Where art thou, RoboCop, Beardsley?
All right, so we're absolutely not talking about the RoboCop remake because I'm not some sort of RoboCop noob. RoboCop, as has clearly been established, is in Detroit, helping reestablish rule there, chasing out all the bears, making sure OCP doesn't get into such underhanded shenanigans. He has now actually teamed up with Ed 209, and they are in a very, very Daniel Bryan Kane friendship right now.
Thank you for making some sort of wrestling reference in that.
Looking after you, buddy.
Thank you.
Let's see. Right now, they're working on a gentrification project in downtown. So they're driving out all the bears, and apparently the low-rent tenants, in order to get... who was it? It was Quicken. Quicken is taking over a lot of office space in downtown Detroit and trying to reinvigorate the city. And Ed 209 and RoboCop are in charge of making sure that the subsidies that people are getting to live in downtown... are being distributed properly and not being taken by the aforementioned bears. And that's where RoboCop is right now.
Thank you. I actually was checking my phone through most of that, so I'm going to assume that made sense.
Some of those are actually real things.
Okay.
If you decide to live in downtown Detroit, you actually will get a subsidy. I think it's $10,000 or $20,000 a month.
Huh.
I don't think that's right. I feel that's a little bit high. You got to get a subsidy.
I know there's that, and I know that they're... they're working on a lot more tax benefits to actually film stuff in Detroit now.
Yeah.
They're trying to revitalize that.
And they're doing one of those things where if you live downtown for 5 years, you get, like, some start-off loan. That might be the $20,000. But if you get this loan, and if you live downtown for 4 or 5 years, they completely forgive the loan.
Nice.
They also give you, like, tax breaks and stuff.
That's cool.
To try and reinvigorate the city. Because... most of the people that live there are dead because it's Detroit.
Yeah. I was doing this thing earlier. It was like,
please, like this is a family show.
I don't know. Suck. it was like a Google Earth thing where, you can go back and look at, like, specific locations in Detroit, what they looked like 4 years ago and what they look like now.
Oh, the Google history thing?
It was something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty depressing.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. This is the part of the show where me and Joel usually would, talk about what's making us happy this week. This week instead, we're going to talk about something that's very exciting that's going to happen in the very near future, and it's not a coincidence at all that I'm talking about this when Beardsley's here on the podcast. As a lot of you know, especially if you are, subscribed to us on iTunes, you know that, all of our podcasts and stuff is part of a... quote-unquote company that me and Joel and some other people started.
Media conglomerate.
Media conglomerate. We'll go with that. Called Irrelevant But Awesome. It started as just this random blog that a bunch of our friends in college started that we would periodically update with whatever, you know, interesting, geeky sports news thing that we want to talk about. And actually, that's where I first started my wrestling column that I do now on Inside Pulse, The Rager. It originally started on... I know, The Rager. I know. You know the original meaning of that. So that's where all that started. And so whenever we came up, when Joel started doing his podcast, he first started the Disney Magic one. And it was all a part of, I know.
Of course he did.
Him and Megan did, and I believe they're still doing Disney Magic. If you want to check that out on iTunes, we'll plug that. Basically, we wanted to move... we always wanted to move beyond podcasts. While still doing podcasts, and we love podcasts, we will probably never stop doing these. We wanted to do other stuff, like... because me and Joel, at the heart of it, we've always been writers. We've always written scripts. It's always something that we wanted to do. So, basically, we were trying to find a way to make that work. And kind of that had that attitude of, rather than just wait around... and have opportunities given to us, we need to finally start making our own opportunities. And so we've hooked up with Beardsley here, and we're starting our own production company. And it would include everything that we are working on, will work on. We're starting, Chris has already started a GoFundMe campaign online so we can get certain equipment for filming and recording and all this other stuff that we'll ever need. Just kind of get us off the ground. Now, I know you're sitting there thinking, and I was like, okay, that you're wanting to film stuff. That's great. What does that have to do with us, you know, listeners of the podcast? The equipment that we're going to get will also go towards recording podcasts. We're looking to get better recording equipment. Because, like I said, everything that we do is going to be under this Irrelevant But Awesome Productions umbrella. So we want everyone to understand that. Like, if you choose to actually help us with our GoFundMe campaign, it's going to everything. But we have to get started, and we need to kind of get our legs underneath us. And so,
it also, there's the possibility of video podcasting. Yes. So we wouldn't have to explain our wild gesticulations.
Right.
You could actually see them.
Right.
And almost awesome appearances.
Absolutely. You know, I've been wanting to do actual live streaming podcasts, you guys, so we can actually interact with people as we're recording. And you know, it would be possible through a lot of the stuff that we're raising funds for. So it'll be an ongoing thing, and you know, we appreciate any type of support that you guys give us. You know, just listening to the podcast alone is huge amount of support for us. So if you're able to actually donate to our GoFundMe campaign, we'll have links available in the podcast description, both on Inside Pulse and on our Blogspot. And if you're following us on Twitter, we're absolutely going to be posting it all over Twitter. So
blowing it up.
Blowing it all up. So there'll be plenty of ways for us to get this to you. And if you're not able to donate or anything like that, just copy-paste that link as much as you can as well. And that's just as helpful for us. Because a lot of this is just us getting our name out there, more so than it already is. So that's on the horizon for us, and we're really excited by it, and we're hoping that you guys are excited about this too, because we have a lot of awesome things that we want to do that we hopefully will be able to through this GoFundMe campaign. Is there anything else I'm forgetting?
No.
Thank you. So yeah, it's going to be a production company that's going to be headed up by me, Beardsley, and Joel. Joel's our money man. Also involved in creative. I'm completely creative, and Beardsley is our production guy.
I'm a production manager.
Because you hate writing.
I hate writing so much. Like, I would rather punch my own face than write.
Fair enough. So yeah, we've got that going on. We wanted to officially announce it here on Class Ring Attire so we can stop being vague about it as we have been in the past couple weeks. So yeah, reminder, we'll post the links on all over Twitter. We will have it in the show description on our Blogspot and on Inside Pulse. And any type of help that you're able to give, we will greatly appreciate it. I think that pretty much does it for me this week. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And now I will try to wrap this show up the way Joel usually does and me all put together. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we will live tweet every Monday Night Raw and appropriate Sundays, like we will for this week's Payback pay-per-view. We won't be live because I've got to work yet again. I know. It's annoying. So we will be watching it after 11 o'clock. So if you want to rewatch it with us, or if you want to wait and watch it with us, either is probably completely ridiculous in your eyes, but it's available.
Listen to the melodious sound of my voice. You should wait and watch. Was it Payback?
Yes.
Payback with us, because it will make you cooler than the rest of your friends. These are all true facts. Because if there's anyone telling you the truth, it's a guy with a 2-foot beard.
It is two feet long. Absolutely. So yeah, make sure you follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com. Or if you would like more information on our GoFundMe campaign, absolutely shoot us an email and we will be glad to answer any questions that you have. Again, that's classyringattire@gmail.com. We are also on iTunes. If you want to go there, absolutely subscribe to classyringattire.com. Subscribe, rate, review us, give us a rating of 5 stars. Usually I say that differently because I'm usually not saying everything else in that whole statement, and it feels weird. So yeah, go to iTunes, subscribe to Class Ring Attire, or subscribe to Class Ring Attire on there. We'd love if you could rate and review us and get the word out about us. And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We would love to hear from you. And it would also be featured on the mail sack.
I can't hear that and not laugh.
That's the point. That's it for us today. We will catch you guys next week. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah!